All right, Cole. What are you doing this time?
Well, Gary, have you ever seen the movie Never Been Kissed?
No.
No.
Never seen Never Been Kissed.
I believe it's a journalist who is older, but goes undercover at a high school to find something. And then, she's never been kissed. Speaking it out, it actually comes across as really problematic.
Yeah, I where are you going with this, man? More like Drew Barry less. She's going to go and statutorily investigate these kids?
Yeah. Well, no. You ever seen 21 Jump Street?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's do
okay.
21 Jump Street.
Okay.
No. What I figured was I enrolled us in a local high school.
Oh, fun.
We would get what we would do is see what superlatives we get. All right. So this is gonna be like a 9-month process.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah, 9 months to kill.
Yeah. So let's, first day is coming up. Let's go in there. Ah, man. School's back
I've got
from
an
summer.
Apple and one of those belts that carries books.
Yeah.
You know, I don't use a backpack. I use a belt.
Yeah. You know, a little book strap. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. The little book strap. I'm pushing a circle with a stick.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do ever so hope teacher finds me agreeable.
Yeah. So we're going to pass some time here. We'll check back in at the end when the yearbook comes out.
Another turning point, a fork stuck in the...
Wow, what a whirlwind year.
Oh, man. I learned so much more. Yeah, coming back there. Did really well at sports. Just being bigger than these kids.
Also learned what Common Core was and learned how to turn people down. Because I didn't want to be problematic.
Right.
But the absolute confidence that is exuded by a married 43-year-old man.
Who
has been in a car. Yes. I don't have a car. But the who is familiar with cars, who, you know, can buy beer, can rent carpet shampooers. Mm-hmm. Like, the amount of magnetism I had was unbelievable.
Yeah.
And being the forbidden fruit because of getting the chair. made me even more.
Yeah.
You know? So yeah.
I know so much more than these pieces of shit.
I turned everybody down. Well, also, like, they are teenagers.
Yeah.
You know, not attracted to children. Right. And also they're into like fucking Skibbity Fortnite and all this stuff.
Oh, yeah,
I have no idea about.
Terrible. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I know less about that stuff than when I started. So let's crack these yearbooks open.
Okay.
Oh, Gary, I've got terrible news.
Uh oh.
We're the bad guys at school.
I didn't do anything a teacher told me to, because I was just like, we're just two men. Why do you get to tell me to do a thing?
You're going to give me homework?
Yeah, that's real weird, man. Like, you have to mess me in combat first. We're not
in
prison.
I'm older than you.
Yeah, like much older than you. Like, you can't give me homework.
Yeah, I'll take this. We're bad guys at school.
I'll take it. My name is Gary Butterfield.
My name is Cole Ross.
And welcome to Object Permanence, where the hosts cease to exist if you stop listening.
This week, it's a Cole pick, and we're following on the heels of the Viscera Cleanup Detail episode. Gary mentioned a game in that episode, Bad Guys at School, and I got real curious about it. And when I saw that it was my pick coming up on the calendar, I was like, fuck it, I'm not going to go search for something wacky. I just want to check this out.
Yeah. You play a bad guy at school. This is a game I played for 90 minutes with Derek. Previously, I found that out by reinstalling it, and everything. And then, for 20 minutes or so today, what if Bully had no structure,
right.
Non-derogatory, jetpack Bully, you know, you've heard of Jetpack Goonies, Jetpack Bully.
I've not heard of Jetpack Goonies. What's Jetpack Goonies?
Oh, that's an old Jerry Parrish.
Gotcha.
Thing. It was the game that he made up in his as a kid.
Okay.
On graph paper, which was the Goonies NES game, but with a jetpack. to Pat Goonies.
Yeah.
So like this is I don't want to make any accusations about it being an asset flip or whatever. This is a very quickly put together game. From what I can tell, like this is a small studio that does not have English as their primary language. And you know, just by looking and reading stuff, but that doesn't make this any less like fun.
It's weirdly fun and compelling.
Yeah. Yeah.
You and I both, a thing that we share is mm-hmm. loving a simulated small town.
Yeah.
And this is a very loose simulation. Like all the houses are empty.
Uh huh.
You know, it's got real like Scary Truman Show kind of shit going, yeah. But you do get to be in a small town, go through mm-hmm. a school, which is a nice, you know, a building we're all very familiar with.
Yes.
And do whatever you want in it.
Mm-hmm.
Like there are big muscle potions you can get that allow you to punch cars. Yep. I don't know if you got to the muscle potion.
No.
You eventually get some physics shit. Mm-hmm. So you can tie things to things.
Oh man.
And just make weird physics stuff happen.
God. I had to stop myself from playing this at one particular place because I knew mm-hmm. that I would put too much time into it actually, because mm-hmm. it is just like, oh, this is just a little concentrated dose of jank, right? Yeah. I did not get to tying anything together.
It unlocks all that stuff slowly unless you set up like a lobby for it. It's also a co-op version of that, which is just really fun. Mm-hmm. to be like, I don't know, let's both get into construction vehicles, start at either ends of the street and just ram into each other.
Yeah.
Like it's kind of a Dude Rock simulator in some ways.
Yeah. So what happens in this, the bad guys, they give you 5 missions per day to do. These missions can be like, go tag with graffiti, commit terrible violence against people. So one of the last things I did before I realized, hey, this thing is probably dangerous to play on a day when I'm busy and have other stuff to do. I charged into the school on a white stallion that I stole, bowled upstairs, got off, threw a firecracker at the principal, would send him flying out the window, and then mm-hmm. escaped from all of the people chasing after me by riding the horse back out into town.
What could be wrong with that?
Nothing.
You know, like that is video games in a lot of ways. Like I have been, I've enjoyed Bully when I played it.
Uh-huh.
I've often thought that it probably wouldn't be that fun to go back to.
It's got Rockstar open world stuff. Yeah.
Like full of instant fail bullshit, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. This just kind of gives me what I remembered Bully being like.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, but even more silly.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's a mission you get, you go and grab a shark from the ocean, carry it and throw it into the school pool.
Yeah.
And like that's just killing a shark.
Yeah.
The shark isn't going to survive there. That's just mission kill shark.
It's just such a like there's such an like uneven escalation to it too.
Yes.
So like two missions that I got like back to back in a row was like throw a paper airplane into the girls' dorm window.
Yeah.
You know?
Good, pure.
Good, pure, and like you can pilot it around, you know. So I aimed it and tried to hit somebody with it, and fun. The next mission was get a baseball bat and destroy the principal's car.
Yeah,
and so I did it. I got the baseball bat from the gym. What it doesn't tell you is that when you explode, you will go flying. This thing kicked me all the way across the map.
Yeah, it's got that good jank.
Yeah.
To it. The ragdoll flying thing. And there's no consequence to anything.
No.
Like you die, you just respawn. If you get caught, you go into this very funny being led around in a headlock pose that isn't tied to the model that's carrying you.
Yeah.
So it looks like you start charging like Homer, like headbutting other elephants. And like it's real good. And again, can I stress this enough? It's co-op. If you just have like a buddy, it's real mm-hmm. fun to just fuck around in this.
God, it's so fun. Yeah. I don't know, it's real good. Like I got there are a bunch of toys so that you go to the joke shop, which
it's the only store in town.
And it's right outside the school. Like what are the economics of this? I need to know.
And the guy who runs it is just wearing an apron.
Yep.
Like he's a shirtless guy just wearing it, like a shirtless dead-eyed hunk who doesn't speak, who's just wearing an apron.
I got bottle rockets and lighters and stuff that I didn't use.
The lighter is incredible. It is a flamethrower. It can set some things on fire. Not as much as you might want.
Yeah.
I tried to so there's a football field and all the football guys are standing around a football. If you grab it, they all get coded to chase you basically forever.
Okay.
So I wanted to set them on fire or set something on fire and lead them into a fire.
Okay.
But I couldn't find anything that would burn in time before they beat me up.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's a rocket in town that will go off. Like you can set off and you can tie things to it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and a lot of like the co-op of this is just once you can start tying things to things, it's like, hey man, I'm going to tie you. You're on a skateboard. I'm going to tie you to this car and then I'm going to drive the car around the neighborhood. And like predictably they just ragdoll and fly everywhere.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
You know, it's not a robust engine for doing the things.
No.
You know, it's kind of like a stupid Kerbal Space Program with some of these things.
You know? I love it. Yeah.
Yeah. It's pretty fun.
The mission that timed me out, didn't time me out, but I was like, yeah, okay, I need to put this down. It asked me to like get a gurney and then put it in the lake, and yeah. I could not find where to get a gurney. So
there's a nurse's office where you can start driving around gurneys. You just grab them. Like this weird world where nobody stops you and nobody talks.
Oh yeah,
you know, it's very surreal.
Mm-hmm.
Like it.
Yeah.
The
I don't know. I could see myself doing multiplayer on this sometime.
It'd be fun, like for Duckstream or something.
Yeah.
Like just figure out something to do. It's kind of like, you know, like a goat simulator. Like I'm sure that is a big streamer thing.
Yeah.
You know, but every once in a while, like the shit streamers are onto something, you know, something that's fun to do or fun to watch.
No, like, I mean, that's the annoying thing about them is like, oh, Lethal Company actually is fun.
Yeah. You don't want them to be right, but sometimes they're right.
Right.
Yeah. This is not a digression I want to lead us into.
Okay.
This is just something I realized today that I wanted to say out loud. And this might not be an original observation.
Okay.
I can guarantee it's original coming from me. I never saw this anywhere, but that doesn't mean it's original. You know the TV show How I Met Your Mother?
I'm aware of it. I've never seen a frame of it.
Okay. The premise of it is a character is telling their teenage children how he met their mother.
And he strings them along for 8 years.
208 episodes of stories about his shitty friends doing like harassments and stuff. Yeah. Can you imagine?
Dad.
And so I was like, that's real weird. Like I'd be really mad about that if I just got told 9 years of sitcom.
Yeah.
You know, for this thing that was like met on Tinder or whatever. And then I was asking Liv about it, because Liv has seen it.
Okay.
The mom in it is apparently dead. And the finale of the show is the father asking the kids or telling the kids that he's going to remarry one of the characters from the sitcom.
Huh.
Isn't that weird as a thing to do to kids?
That is
the framing device of this is so strange.
No, that's very strange.
Here's 208 episodes of me getting laid and some unrelated episodes of some side characters I knew doing like gross bro code sex harassment. Also, that lady who I told you about, I fucked a bunch of the stories. She's your new mom.
Yeah, she's your new mom now. Now that you know every single one of her and mine's indiscretions.
Yeah, and your dead mother's who will not be referred to anymore.
No,
I know you want to know how I met your mother, but it's how I met your new mother as well as your old mother.
Is the mother okay? So where I thought that was going was so I have no idea if the mother is somebody that is like a character on the show.
Yes.
Okay.
Eventually gets introduced, but it's like season four or something infuriating like that. Yeah. I can't believe these kids are putting up with this shit.
Mm-hmm. No, not at all. These are the most patient. I mean, he's got these kids like locked up somewhere.
Yeah.
They're
in dog kennels.
Yeah.
You know, at this point.
They're dog kennels
and they've had their tongues cut out. Like their voice boxes have been removed.
They cannot protest. Where I thought you were going was in the final episode, the mom dies.
Oh, that'd be incredible too. Yeah. But it's even weirder. The mom has been dead the whole time. I wish that was a twist as well.
Mm.
I wish it was like we got Shyamalan and it was like, it actually, you know, your mother's been, you know, a ghost this entire time and shows up. But yeah. I was just thinking about boy, for like a story that should have two sentences, they sure did do that for 208 episodes. Sitcoms are fucking stupid.
Yeah, pretty much. It's one of the, it's one of the less than ideal forms.
Yeah. One of the lowest art forms.
Yeah.
You know?
Except for animated sitcoms, in which case, then those are golden good. Baby. Yeah.
Yeah. Those are great. Yeah. Anywho, I didn't want to digress entirely about How I Met Your Mother.
No, I've got nothing. I know that what Jason Segel's in it, and then you have Neil Patrick Harris talking about suits.
Yeah, and being bro code, right. and being kind of a scumbag.
Yeah. Yeah. No thanks.
Yeah, I'm good. Yeah. I found out about this game. I think the reason why I played it back when me and Derek were doing a lot of co-op was because the co-op cowboys suggested it, which is like a Steam group.
Okay.
That tell you about good co-op games.
Huh.
And even now I get these little notifications from the co-op cowboys.
Oh, so it's like a Steam curation kind of deal?
Yeah.
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 I mean, have you found more than one good thing off of the back of that? Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sure we play. I mean, to the degree that this is good, mm-hmm. you know, to the degree that we played this for 90 minutes and that was like a fun two afternoons.
That's a good value proposition for, five bucks a piece. Yeah.
Yeah. It's better than a movie. Mm-hmm. You know, we're better than going to the theater.
Theater,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
The co-op cowboys. That's good.
Not so bad.
The other stuff that the studio has made seems interesting. Like they've got like a PvP exorcism game. It's like 4-player co-op, kind of a follow on Phasmophobia. The Jank probably seems like it would work with that.
Zookeeper Simulator.
Yeah.
You know that's going to have a bunch of the Jank. And it, like, you know, the screenshots are like penguins riding, you know, camels and stuff.
Yeah. They've got a game where you play as a fly. So kind of getting a little bit of that Mr. Mosquito energy in there. Yeah.
Yeah. I kind of like Force 8.
Mm-hmm.
Fork 8 or whatever you'd call these people.
Maybe they're trying to say Foresight, but it's spelled like Force 8. Yeah.
It's a little bit odd.
Yeah.
Ball Out.
Mm-hmm.
Good name for a game.
Yeah.
Who was the worst guy in your school?
Oh gosh, there were a lot of them. Part of like coming in here was there's probably stories you can find. Like a lot of the worst guy stuff ends up actually kind of being hate crimes. Like,
yeah, it's less fun. It's very similar to the Never Been Kissed issue.
You know, like, there was somebody who was like kind of in my friend group who called somebody the N-word and didn't realize that person was a trained boxer in like sixth grade, you know, because that wasn't a school early, sport or anything.
You know, fuck around
out. Yeah. I mean, I just got the piss beat out of him. Didn't hang out with him after that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
that sucks.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just like the worst people in school ended up just getting expelled for like horrible violence.
Generally,
like,
the bad guys at school.
Yeah.
Yeah. It happens.
No.
Then we'll sometimes be in the behavior class.
Yes.
You know, that will pop up, which was always like a force of like, you know, now as an adult that has empathy, like I understand more. As a kid, that was just like a scary non-zone.
Yeah.
You know, like it's just like, oh, we don't think about that. We don't look at it. Like it was,
no,
it's very weird how they were classmates and we were so discouraged from interfacing them with them like people.
No, you would never encounter people in that situation in your day-to-day. Like they were completely segregated.
Yes.
You know, in a way that is kind of fucked up. Did you grow up at your schools? Was there ever the specter hanging over of alternative school? Was that something that was a thing for you?
I want to say that there was something to that effect. I don't remember a lot about it, and I don't think it was called that. But I think I know what you're talking about. I think we had something similar to that.
Yeah. So for us, I'm realizing, I didn't realize it at the time, but very, pretty soon after when I started becoming aware of this, what was called alternative school, which was the place where you would be taken. If you were a habitual misbehavior to a dangerous degree, it basically a private prison for kids is essentially what it was. For us, it was a facility called Abraxas.
Was it a facility or some kind of demon lord? Like it was a facility or a Cenobite?
There might be a synecdoche kind of thing. Like the building was called Abraxas.
But it was built on the burial site of Abraxas. You know, or something like that. Or where you first made landfall in this dimension.
um, Yeah. So private place where just, you know, just like the opposite of a magnet school, basically. All of the kids who probably, you know, had a, just, we don't need to talk about all the issues, but just like, let's just concentrate everybody with behavioral problems and circumstances or whatever in this place where they're absolutely going to not thrive until they're ultimately pipelined into the prison system to provide slave labor for food processing.
Yeah, it's awful. Yeah. I read that article as well. The, it's awful. Like it is a, it's very video game.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the kind of thing you do if you're playing Frostpunk.
Yeah.
Like it's just like, should we put everybody, you know, like the referendum comes up and it's like, put up all everyone in alternative school who has this issue. Like, and you're like, well, I got to segregate them from the population or else I won't win.
Yeah.
Can I go back there's no on way this? To win
no.
creating a school.
Nope.
It's also the term is used for like hoity-toity private schools as well.
Mm-hmm.
Like looking it up. So like it's such a weird word. Like it's some real euphemistic language going on to just say alternative school and have it mean, you know, both like arts and science academies.
Yeah.
And Abraxas the child prison. You know?
So it wasn't just like the vague threat of Abraxas, you know, like, hey, this is that building on the way out to Shelby that you know, people are kind of that's where the bad he goes. It wasn't like a rumor or anything. Every year in middle school, people from Abraxas would come out, and then like in social studies or whatever, we'd basically get a scared straight come and saying, like, this place sucks. You don't want to go there, kids.
From other students?
I don't remember it being students. It was teachers from there.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't, like, better is not the right word, but for a second I was like, oh, like, that's really fucking gross.
Like, oh, yeah, no.
They just, you know, praise your peers around to be like, don't be like me.
Yeah. You know?
Like, don't, yeah. God, that's fucked up.
Yeah, we don't get silverware. Yeah. No, it's not like, they at the very least didn't parade actual miners around like they were carnival attractions.
Yeah, Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Like the elephant children of Abraxas strike again.
Yeah.
You know, the class of 2004.
Yeah.
That's awful. Mm-hmm. I'm sure we had that. I'm sure we had something similar to that. I remember one day I went to, so I got real far behind in math.
Okay.
At one point, because I moved around all the time, right? Yeah, like I mentioned before, I lived in 25 different places before I was 25.
Mm-hmm.
Not my fault. You know, I'm not a dummy. I just couldn't stay for a lesson, like, you know, long enough. Like,
right.
You know, education's a building block program.
You get ripped out in the middle of one unit and then you get dropped into the middle of a different unit because different schools follow different modules.
And I don't know how the first one ends. I don't know how the second one began. Like, I'm fucked.
Yeah.
So, you know, it really fucked up my, you know, development of that specific. Everything else was pretty natural to me.
Yeah.
But like mathematics, I never advanced very far in.
That builds up so much, you know, on one thing over another. Yeah.
Yeah. So at one point, my mom encouraged me because my grades in that were bad to do a vocational thing. It was like this vocational after school special thing.
Okay.
Which was with, like, largely with Abraxas children.
Okay.
And the idea was for kids that were just going to enter the workforce.
Right.
Not the most encouraging thing my mom's ever done.
Okay.
You know, of just being like, yeah, you're going to become a welder.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, you know, I'm actually quite smart. Like, what is this about? Like, and she just like got scared because I got C's in math from time to time.
Oh yeah.
And, you know, and didn't really know what was up. And that's the closest I've come to that. And that was real weird.
But I just did one day and I quit.
I was like, this fucking sucks. I'm not going back to that. You know, and it was just, it was a old guy. It was actually, one of my good friend's uncles who was a math teacher, basically explaining the exciting world of welding and stuff. And I, you know, no disparagement to tradespeople.
People like, have to do shit it. Metal needs to be attached to other metal. Yeah.
And I can't fucking do it. I don't have the level of expertise for
with
that.
With my like, soft hands? With my baby soft hands?
With my baby soft brain. Like there are things I don't know about that stuff. Yeah. You know, I'm not disparaging that field of knowledge
bit.
Yeah. But it was just the tone was exceedingly condescending.
Yeah.
Like I'm not disparaging that then. They were then though. Or I'm not doing it now. They were then.
Yeah.
You know?
That was the attitude. So we also had, after your sophomore year, you could go to what was called Pioneer, which was the vocational high school. Mm-hmm. You know, and you know, like you were taken on tours over there to like, pick which of these you want to go see. You know, even if you were not like on that track. And it was very much always kind of laden in the idea. It was pitched as a negative, like, hey, if you don't think you're gonna go to college, like, hey, you know, hey, check this out. Which now, as an adult, I understand that's perfect way to go. You can get a leg up on a trade.
Sucks so bad. Like, now that sounds kind of sick. Like, I would like, instead of all of my real world application of fractions and names and dates, if I learned how to do woodworking.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like what that'd be great.
Uh-huh.
You know, I would probably have benefited from some of that, you know, or a mix of that.
Right.
More than I did my actual education.
Absolutely. And it wasn't just like blue collar stuff. There was like, you know, computer tracks for it and design and stuff. Like just and I don't know. Like my parents were very against me, like, you know, doing it.
there's so much classism. You know, that you're exposed to very young.
Yeah. You know, and it was like, it was internalized. When in reality, the only thing that would have sucked about it was, you know, leaving the school
full of friends.
Yeah. Leaving the school with people that you knew and, you know, dropping into this situation where you're, you know, just with people from all over. Right.
Yeah.
Which could also be a positive. Right.
Yeah. Maybe you'd make some friends. Yeah. Who knows? You know, but like, that kind of ingrained classism. It's one of these things that like will come through. Every once in a while, like there's a lot of discourse about like former gifted kids and the burden, you know, that they bear, like how that's the hardest thing you could ever be in turn, especially now in 2024, like with everything going on with, you know, minorities and with trans people and stuff. Like if you were a former gifted kid, you're really in trouble.
Yeah.
But, every once in a while, I'm being sarcastic in case anyone's understand that. But the, one of the things is every once in a while, you'll find a former gifted kid who never got over it and still has that shit ingrained.
Mm-hmm.
Like every once in a while, you'll meet a former gifted kid who thinks of themselves as current gifted kid and still has that same kind of attitude about that shit.
Yeah. Well, and that I think that is one of the primary pipelines for you get people who still, you know, care about IQ, you know?
Yeah. 100%. Like all of that dog shit.
Yeah.
You know, like you just a recipe and it's taught to you as a kid.
Mm-hmm. No, I'm, you know, I was in that track, you know, like I was in the talented and gifted class kind of things. All the ways in which I, you know, let myself down had nothing to do with that. So like, it is hard for me to look at it and say, oh, I was coddled and encouraged too much, especially when I saw what happened to the kids who were not coddled and encouraged at all.
Yeah.
Like they also had problems and I don't know.
Talented and gifted kids, those programs should have to accept people who can juggle really well. Or something like that.
Yeah.
It can't just be gifted. It could also be talented. So like if you've never lost a game of rock, paper, scissors, I think they should have to take you in that program.
I mean, down that road lies Danganronpa.
I guess that's true. did you know that there is competitive rock, paper, scissors?
Come on.
No, it like, it's I was reading about it because I saw a reference to it in a TV Tropes thing and I said, that can't be real. And then I clicked the link and learned about it. And the fascinating thing is, you know, cause there's psychology to rock, paper, scissors.
Right.
It's, you know, it's a yo-me game there, but there are things people try. The way that you win is to try to behave randomly.
Right.
Like, the good rock, paper, scissors play is trying to be as random as possible and not have any tells or do anything that makes intuitive sense. Like forget all of your intuition around rock, paper, scissors.
Okay. So how many rounds do you do, in order to, is it like best 3 out of 5? Like what's going on?
It goes for longer than that is my understanding.
Okay.
But it is like an aggregate, right? So it's an aggregate of like a certain number. It's like 9 or 13 or something.
Okay.
I know exactly.
So like long enough to establish a pattern. Because I mean, like behave randomly in a situation where you only have 3 options to do. I don't know.
Like it's almost an interesting challenge.
Yeah.
Right. Like, almost. Mm-hmm. Like I wouldn't watch it with your eyes. Like I'm not gonna get into this or anything. It's just it was just fascinating to me. I was like, oh, that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard of. And it's like, no, that's a thing. You know, trying to behave randomly. So I think those people should be those are their tag.
Oh, absolutely. And like those tag classes or it was tech by the time I went. It was not like anything. It was not anything especially like erudite. It was just more opportunities to do cool shit. Yeah. Like, you know, the annual, taking cardboard rolls and making, and making marble.
Yeah. How far can the cardboard rolling thing move with some records?
We were just doing like egg drops and shit.
Yeah.
Or we were doing
Rocket Club.
Yeah. Or like we took a field trip to like a ropes course,
yeah,
you know, like cool stuff to get to do, but it was very much like, hey, we don't have the budget to take everybody. So let's like screen, let's do kiddie eugenics to figure out who gets to do trust falls.
Yeah. It's all very repulsive.
Yeah.
To think about I've talked about this before. I get sad when I think about school getting better and me having missed the good version of it.
Yeah.
And, and also school might not get better and also probably will just get worse, like everything. So, you know, maybe I shouldn't be sad about it, but I do have that feeling of like when I hear about, you know, people actually saying this shit out loud.
Yeah.
Like, man, I wish I was in school when that was happening and people were questioning some of this bullshit.
Yeah. You know, it just, I don't know, technology around teaching kids to manage conflict and whatnot, you know, just like I'm just walking into a middle school for like my niece's choir concerts or whatever and seeing just like the, you know, the posters that, you know, that are up, which like nobody pays attention to. And it's all stuff that people roll their eyes at. But it's like if this thought technology was just in the air, like how much better would I be at approaching stuff like this
instead of sending any kind of conflict to Abraxas?
Yes.
You know, Or like the kind of we had a vice principal guy in school who like used to get really mad at everyone. He came in and he was kind of like a cop. He was the vice principal, but he acted like a cop. Eventually got a cop.
That's the thing. The vice principal handles the disciplinary duties and is like student facing, whereas the principal is just administrative.
Yeah, there's a good guy, bad guy. There's a weird good guy, bad guy, good cop, bad cop kind of situation.
Yeah,
anyway. But he used to scream until he's red in the face at people.
Oh, yeah.
Like a little angry red man who would just be screaming at children all day. That was our conflict model and resolution.
We had something similar to that, and it was like, you expect me to respect you?
I don't this whole thing is just comical. The other thing, the other anecdote I wanted to say real quick, the best bad guy at school thing that's ever happened, my good friend, actually my friend who had the uncle who taught me the like you're not going to college kid thing, his bad guy at school moment was he took a tennis ball and he stuck it in the urinal in the bathroom in the near the pool.
Okay.
And tried to flush it. And he thought it would like, you know, plug up the thing and flood.
Uh-huh.
You know, and he's like, ha ha ha. But it actually created pressure and exploded the urinal. and he got caught doing that. And that was very funny.
Yeah. We had a kid who did the old flushing an M80 trick.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. In the like the practice facility, like football practice facility, locker room, you know, kind of deal, only to discover that it literally took every single toilet and every pipe out of commission. Because of that, he very nearly got expelled as a result of that.
Expecting it to be like Goonies, where that happens and then somebody's sitting on the toilet and the toilet becomes a geyser.
Right.
And they whoa.
No,
best case scenario.
Yeah. Turns out old pipes are delicate, and that is actually just like a miniature form of terrorism.
They don't like explosions.
No, they don't. Yeah. It's the opposite. Explosions is the opposite of vitamins for pipes.
Yeah. They learned that lesson that day. This is a good reason to get expelled, I guess.
Yeah. Destroying a bunch of property. Yeah, no. He was gone for a while. And then several years later, a good amount of people that went to school with me died of an opioid overdose. So,
que sera.
So it goes.
So it goes.
Yeah.
All feeds Abraxas. If you like this show, What should they do?
If they like the show, they can go to patreon.com/duckfeedtv and kick us $5 per month to get a whole bunch of bonus content, bonus episodes of this show, and whole other bonus shows like Real Itch Hours, our show about Baldur's Gate 3, or Unfilmable, our show about horror movies.
Yes, we would appreciate you listening to those. We'd also appreciate you leaving ratings reviews on Apple Podcast, Podcast Addict. Mm-hmm. That'd be great. Yeah. Also, tell your friends, and please, also join us in thanking our producer, Gwen.
Thank you, Gwen. Yeah.
Yeah.
And until next time, I have one more anecdote for you.
Oh,
that I had planned for this. So did you have a tradition of senior pranks when you were,
if so, I don't really remember.
Okay. A couple years before I graduated, the senior prank was they brought in some of the bad boys, brought in a bunch of chickens and released them in the bathrooms.
Okay.
Not understanding or not recognizing that our biology and anatomy teacher ran a chicken farm. So instead, like, this guy, Mr. McClellan, just went and knew the magic to get these chickens contained and then just took them home. So they just donated.
The prank was to give Mr. McClellan three chickens.
Gave Mr. McClellan three chickens.
That's great. So many pranks like that are just ways to kill an animal.
Yeah.
You know, the subject of the prank should have a say in it as well.
They really ought to.
Yeah, the tool of the prank. Well, that's good. That's a happy ending for those chickens.